Hello, welcome to Pinecones and Moonstones, the podcast where science, witchcraft, and history combine. I'm Cassie. I remembered it this time. and we're trying to record take two of this episode because Zoom hates me.
It'll be short and sweet. We're on a time limit, so.
Now that we know we're on a time limit, yeah.
Yeah.
So for this episode, we thought we would kind of talk about like what we have been doing during this pandemic, hiatus that was unintended, but had to happen because I mean, the general state of the world is insane. And also about what you can do to kind of help yourself, but also not make yourself feel like shit if you are a burned out witch, but you still want to do witchcraft things. Yes. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first again?
You go first.
Okay. So, I left my PhD program. We moved across the country because I got a new job in Atlanta. We got two more puppies. One is a doodle who is 10 months old, and the other one we just found out is a bully lab, mostly mix, who will be 4 months old next week. So we have all manner of puppy chaos happening at our house. We bought a house, which is weird. We made yesterday yard work day, and both of us like almost cried because we haven't actually been able to do yard work. And for any other archaeologists listening, my husband said the magic words of, hey, do you want to go to Home Depot with me? We need digging tools. And I was like, I literally have degrees in this. I can help pick digging tools. So I got a lot of digging tools yesterday at Home Depot. Yeah, it's been a lot of mood and grief issues because we had, unfortunately, we had a pregnancy loss in February. We've also lost, I think at this point we're at 14 family members, 6 of them to COVID and the rest just because, I mean, random things happen that are terrible. So it's been a lot of ups and downs, but mostly ups at this point, which is helpful, but it's a lot of craziness. So I'm kind of in the last year, I've been able to like get back into mostly doing witchcraft stuff because I'm not in school, which helps my brain a lot. But before that, I was doing like basically nothing except soaps because grad school budget is non-existent. yeah. What about you?
Well, we moved also into a house. We didn't buy it. Unfortunately, house prices around here are like $600,000 for a 3-bedroom. And I'm just not going to pay that anymore, especially now that my kids are, you know, they're not going to be here that much longer. So what's the point? But yeah. I mean, we moved. I worked through the whole pandemic. I actually got more work.
You have one of those unique jobs that got busier.
Yes, I did get weight. So I just worked. And then we had a really rough year in terms of family members being sick and ill and passing away and having to care for the sick family members and just with the kids. It's been a rough year for them. It's really been just a really rough year for everybody. And we're just now sort of starting to crawl our way out of that. So I have been really having to focus my energy in other places. Like my shop has taken a bit of a backseat because I can't really do both anymore.
Yeah, that's what I've been kind of wondering, like, because I haven't put the soaps back on the website and I'm tempted to get supplies and make more, but I'm also tempted to just like not. It's weird.
Yeah.
I haven't decided.
I've been waffling with the decision. It's not like I don't enjoy doing it, but if I only have 4 free hours a week with my, I mean, I work between 40 and 60 hours a week. And then I have my kids. It takes me 2 hours each day to drive them back and forth to school for different start times. And then I have an hour where I have to pick them up every day. So that's 3 hours of my day. And then I have the puppy, who is high maintenance, very active dog, who has to be walked twice a day, has to be like, or she'll lose her mind. If I only have an hour a day of free time, and I'm using it to do something, I guess I shouldn't just say for financial, but what's the word I'm looking for? If I'm always trying to be productive for something like that, it almost becomes unenjoyable. Whereas before, I could experiment a little bit more and just kind of play around and, oh, somebody's interested in this thing that I played around with, you know, which is kind of where I started. And like doing these things with people was what I originally meant to be doing. And it's kind of gotten away from that a bit. And I don't want to be set up. I don't want to have to force myself to be productive on my off time just to pay the bills. I want to be able to use that free time to do something that I consider fun, because I don't do anything fun. I just...
Yeah, like, that's kind of, it's like
work.
I have,
and then I go work at the other, you know, my part-time job that's at home. So I needed to not, I guess.
Yeah, it's especially because in school, like there is no downtime in grad school, but especially not in a PhD program. Like you're supposed to be reading all the time. You have more homework than you could ever finish in terms of just reading. And then you also have to do papers and synopses and tests and teach and grade all of those kids' things while those kids are also struggling with the fact that they did not sign up for online school, but they have to do it that way because like it's just, it was a mess. And now I have actual free time, and I was making soaps at the apartment. Like that was fine, but I have actual free time, and most of that right now I want to be like, I have to deal with puppies. Like I have to walk 4 dogs, and it's much easier to walk all 4 of them separately than it is together. To double them up, because they love the yard. But generally when you have at least 2 of them, if not more, together, they're going to all go in different directions because they're very different dogs. And the older 2, like we go 2 8-year-olds and then 10 months and 4 months. So the ability that they have, even if they want to be doing something that's the same, like 2 of them are going to tap out a whole lot faster than the other 2. And then of those other 2, 1 of them physically, you shouldn't be walking the puppy that far.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Luna, who is a doodle and is more like Pepper. Like she needs to go somewhere and do a thing lots of times a day.
You have to drain her mentally and physically to have her just be a content animal.
Yeah, which we've been doing puzzles inside. So she has puzzle toys. She has weird, they're called topples. It's like a weird rubber toy that you freeze canned food in. And then she has to get the canned food out of the topple somehow.
I should check that.
It helps here because we're already at 87 today. It's already hit 95 once this year. And like she is a black doodle. So she's black and full of multiple layers of fluff. Mm-hmm. So Atlanta heat is rough for her. I mean, she's used to it because she's from Alabama. So like she's a southern dog and she likes to be outside. But even when we shave her, like she needs activities that are cold.
You should get I just bought a little foldable doggy pool I'm going to set up for her today, because today is the first day. We still haven't hit like a real spring here yet. It has been nonstop rain and it's May, and it's like literally dragging everybody down with how much rain we have been getting.
You can send some to us.
I wish, man. We're supposed to hit 65 today, and everybody is like outside in their bathing suits, like just pretending that it's warm enough for that because they are so happy to see the sun.
Yeah, ours, we have to clear the backyard because people, they rented it out for a few years, but nobody has done anything in the backyard. So like our 2 neighbors have like 10 more lengthwise feet of yard than we do because the underbrush and the trees have just gotten insane. So mm-hmm. Mark cleared out about 4 feet like into it yesterday across the whole yard. But we have to clear that and then we're going to fence it. And then we're going to build like a, not like a pool, but just like a wading pool kind of thing for mm-hmm. us and the dogs to just like sit in when it gets hot. But they seem to like the front yard. We walk them around the neighborhood. Like I'll take Luna to the 2 cul-de-sacs on either end and then bring her inside and give her the frozen food treat. And that cools her down because it's cold, but also like takes about an hour for her to chisel her way through frozen beef to mm-hmm. get it out of a toy. So she's a lot of work. The little puppy is a lot of monitoring work because he had mange. His whole litter had no fur the first time we saw them. He's got all his fur back now, but we found out from his DNA test, he has a what's called an MDR1 drug resistance variant gene. So things like medicine you would use to treat parasites, like ivermectin and medicine for mange, does nothing for him. It actually can make the itchiness worse for mange, which explains why no matter what meds they gave all of his litter, nothing worked. They had to go to oatmeal baths. So they got 4 oatmeal baths a day for 3 weeks, and then their fur started coming back.
I can't bathe Pepper without her screaming like I'm murdering her. Like, you ever heard a husky scream when they're mad?
Yeah.
He does that in the bathtub and no one will come in there with me because they're terrified, like, of the noises that she makes. She literally sounds like I am murdering a woman in my bathtub. And then we get out and she's fine. She's like, cool, whatever, we're done. And I'm like, my ears. She doesn't like baths. She likes water. She likes to swim. Don't give her a bath.
We got waterless soap wipes. Yeah, so it's like dry shampoo. But what we use on Jack because he, instead of screaming, he just cowers. Like his whole entire body starts shaking the minute his feet get wet. Like you can't even get him to go out in the rain.
She'll Spider-Man it up the bathtub trying to get away from me.
He tries to run out several times, so then that facilitates like a tidal wave of dirty dog water just on you. Luna loves being groomed. She has her same groomer at PetSmart she goes to every time. The first time she got her nails done, we had not done them because I didn't want to. She has black nails and I have no way to tell where the quick is, so I'm not doing that. So we took her and apparently she literally just does like puts her paw up and like lets you hold it. And then she trims, like the lady trims and then grinds her nails. And she just sits there with her feet up like, here you go, you can do this. And so I tried it at home because she needed to be a little longer for the winter. So we didn't do it as frequently. So I tried to trim her nails at home and she literally just puts her paw on your leg and is like, cool, you can do what you want to. I'm like, I didn't teach you this, but cool. Loki, we tried to trim his and he got real freaked out about the clipper thing, not about people touching his feet because we've been playing with his toes and stuff. So we're going to try it again when he's real sleepy. And if that doesn't work, he's going to go with her to PetSmart. And he's going to get like a bath and just like get pampered at the doggy spa.
I haven't taken her into a groomer. They did it at the board and train place once and said she was cool with everything except the blow dryer.
I've never met a dog that's actually cool with a blow dryer because they're very loud and then there's hot air on you. Like, I get it. I don't
know. It sounds like the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. She
also hates the vacuum cleaner and the broom. So the whole time I sweep from start to finish, she barks and like does that like butt in the air down, you know,
place dancing it
the whole entire time. So anytime I have to do the floors, which is daily because she sheds like crazy, it's just like this playtime battle. And then she runs away with the dustpan and
Butter and Jackson are terrified of the vacuum. Luna thinks it is her personal mission to smack it.
Mm-hmm.
So she just waits like this, like she'll hold her feet up and stand on her feet. Like she's gonna do a weird karate move in a cartoon. And she like smacks it like a cat and then she runs away. And then she runs back and sits and just like watches it with her head going in different directions. Mm-mm. She's the weirdest dog. Loki is not fazed by noises at all. The only thing that fazes him is new people. He's very nervous about people.
Yeah.
And he's been socialized. Like we have not exposed him to anyone. Like he was in a shelter with a ton of shelter people and then people coming to see the puppies. And then we take him and he has to meet all our neighbors in the yard, you know, because Luna thinks she's the Walmart greeter of the world. So if there is a human, she runs up to them and sits and it's just like, please love me.
Takes it as like a personal offense if someone doesn't want to pet her.
No, she's not quite that.
That's level. How Pepper is. She gets why would you not want to pet me right now? Like I'm doing all the things. I'm sitting and I'm cute and I'm laying on you. And
no, Luna, like if someone is not interested, she'll just come back and sit with us. Like she doesn't. Oh. But she does run up to them and sit, but she won't like jump on them anymore. If she knows you, she's all over you and you're going to be scratched. And I'm sorry. Loki will take him out on his little walk. And if he sees other people, he starts hiding behind us and then, or tries to turn around and go home. So we have to carry him to meet people. Mm. And then he's fine. He's not afraid when the people are there with him. It's when he sees people in the distance that he doesn't know, he gets very nervous. And it's kind of cute, but also so sad because it's like, little buddy.
We're starting a podcast about dogs. That's what this is. It's turning into a dog podcast. You can just call and tell us about your dogs.
My dogs help with tarot things. Butter and Luna are very interested in everything that I do with cards and with everything else. Luna tries very hard to join me in the bathtub if I'm taking a bath. Like I have to shut multiple doors, and thankfully she can't open doorknobs. She can't open, like, you know, apartments have to have the handle doors. She can like jump and open those. So she used to just open the bathroom door on me and be like, hello, I'm gonna take a bath too. And it's a disaster.
She's a rock thief. So she'll either steal rocks from outside and put them in her bed just like for fun, or she'll steal rocks off of my bookcase altar I have in here and just take them with her. Like she doesn't
eat. Loki tries to eat rocks outside. Like he literally, that's the only thing he tries to keep chewing in his mouth. He just spits leaves out, but he'll sit there and try to gnaw on it. It's like, dude, you're going to break your teeth. We cannot do this.
She just likes to hoard them. She's like a little goblin. She hoards things and puts them in her bed and in her, she hides. Like if she gets a good treat, she'll go hide it in her bed or around different spots in the yard. She'll like dig a tiny hole and put it in there and then cover it back up with her nose. I've never seen a dog actually bury a bone, but we have multiple buried around our yard right now. And if she like panics, if she thinks somebody saw her bury it. So sometimes she's so overstimulated, she either moves it or she'll bring it back to me to have me put it away. Like she cannot handle the responsibility of this treat I have given her and I have to put it away and give her something smaller, like a cookie. She just can't do it. So, but I mean, I don't know. I complain about her, but she's my buddy. She's my best buddy. I don't have I have a dog friend. So
yeah, Luna is my like, she hangs out with me all the time. She comes and sits on my lap on the couch. She tries to play video games, which results in a disaster for me, but it's cute. Loki is definitely Mark's dog. Like Mark just picks him up and the little guy falls asleep on him, no matter where he's sitting. So at the computer chair, in his armchair, on the couch, like on the floor, he's fallen asleep while Mark was talking to our neighbor because he was holding him. And he just
he's not gonna asleep. Be able to hold him that much longer.
That's why he holds him now, because he's like, he's gonna get too big. And I'm like, he's still gonna want to be a little lap dog. Like you're gonna have to put him in the recliner. So our next giant furniture purchase is probably one of the bigger recliners, because this one is too short for my giant husband anyway. Because Mark is 6'5", so like everything is too short for Mark. But he's going to have to find a chair that's big enough to fit giant Loki and giant Mark in it at the same time.
Too bad they don't have a big and tall furniture store.
They do. The Lazy Boy, they make this chair. They used to call it the Beast, but my dad used to get it all the time because our dog growing up was 120 pounds and my height if he stood on his back legs. And my dad is 6'4" and very large. So for the two of them to be able to sit in a chair, it had to be gigantic. This one, my dad's feet didn't touch the floor when he sat all the way back in it. Like, he had to hop into it. It's for people who are like 6'8" or so.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to find Mark one of those, because there's no way Loki can get too big for that.
Yeah. Well, in terms of pandemic witchcraft, what have you been working on?
I mean, zero surprise here for, I feel like, anyone. I'm really into bath magic. Mm-hmm. So like I got a stash of bath oils and bath bombs, and I make soap. So I always have a stash of bar soap that's mm-hmm. like fancy, or just like stuff that I like the smell of. Like, there are a bunch of companies that make like bath bombs and stuff with crystals in them, but you could just get a $2 bath bomb from Target. As long as you mm-hmm. really like the smell, it works, you know? So I just take like insanely long like baths with a playlist that I make. I'm in a playlist music, not music, but magic, where I'll like, if I'm trying to have something happen, I will invent a playlist for it. Or if I'm working with a particular tarot card, I've been making playlists for different cards.
Oh, you should be releasing those.
I do on my Patreon, like my personal Patreon. Really? I should probably put them on the show's Patreon also.
That's a good idea. I've thought about starting a Patreon for the candle stuff and all that.
It made the subscription box thing that I was doing with the soaps a whole lot easier, because
that was what I was thinking.
Already had it set up, so it was like different tiers mm-hmm. of how much what you get. So like, I do, similar to the show's Patreon, I'll do like a random theme for the month or something. So I'll be like, I'll pick a plant and do like either a write-up, or sometimes I do like a 10-minute podcast, in air quotes, kind of thing, mm-hmm. just talking about the plant and like what you can use it for. Or I do like a full moon tarot reading with 6 cards or something and post that. Or I haven't brought the tier back yet for the soaps, but I had one where you would get like a full size bar soap or a small little like molded soap every month. Mm-hmm. I may bring those back instead of doing like full scale shop stuff. That might be fun. But it makes it easier because it gives you a spreadsheet with everyone's address and everything already in it.
Yeah, you've showed me the one from our Patreon.
Yeah, it basically will do the same thing if you have a mailed reward.
I should look into that, because I
think the fee ended up being less than what Etsy's fee was, because I did the soap stuff when I still had an Etsy store, not like my own website. It's comparable with the Shopify fees. But Shopify fees are less than Etsy fees.
Especially since it all just went up again too. It's like not even worth. The only reason I'm still on there is because it keeps all of my like quarterly tax stuff in one place.
Shopify does that too.
Yeah, but I understand I could just switch platforms, but like I finally trained myself to figure out and sit down and go, because you have to go back through everything and pull out how much sales tax was remitted, because it doesn't go to me. It goes, they send it directly to the state of Washington. Yeah. And then I have to tell the state how much they paid. But when you pull their CSV file, it doesn't tell you how much tax they paid for everything. So I have to go back through and go order by order for the ones that were paid to Washington state, pull out that number, then get my total sales minus the tax that they're sending out, even though I haven't hit the threshold in most states. It's very strange. And it sounds harder when I say it out loud, but I'm lazy and I don't want to have to do all this computer stuff again. So I'm going to just leave it until I am not doing it anymore. But I made mystery boxes this month.
Yeah, I got one.
I know. I'm waiting. I did not add my weight for beeswax correctly when I started making all of these. And I'm like 3 short, like ounces. And so it's in the mail because I only use beeswax from this one guy in Seattle, but then he had to mail it and then he got delayed. And I'm like, I just have these last 3 boxes to send out. But I wanted to use up, my goal is to, for the rest of this year, not buy any new supply because I mean,
use up your other stuff.
I have a ton of different kinds of scents and people get so stuck on like the regular ones that I have in the shop, which are fine because I like to smell them too. That's why I make them for most of them. But all these other scents are just sitting here and eventually they do go bad and I don't want to waste it. My whole idea when I started this was to reduce and reuse as much as possible. And I find myself ending up having to throw things away and it makes me really sad. So it's not like the original plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of, I
circle back.
I used to do just like the small batch things. And then people got like really into like, especially I think the fall ones, like people really want the tombstones and people really want the apple pie, Samhain stuff. And it's like, I like making those, but like, I want to make other things. But there's now I have a giant thing of pumpkin spice and a giant thing of apple, and I have to get rid of them because soap stuff goes bad faster than candle scent stuff goes. So it's just like, I feel like burnout plays into it a lot.
Well, this has been kind of a year, I feel like, for burnout, but it's also been like a good year for kind of a forced release.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, I don't let things go. I'm just like this giant hermit crab that holds everything into my shell.
You're very much a December Sagittarius and I'm very much a November Sagittarius.
But I am a November Sagittarius.
I know, but you act like a December one.
Like I don't let anything go and I don't ever want to not do the thing and I need to be working and doing all this. But this year has really shown me that like I have to let go of this idea that if I am not working, I am not worth something. And that's been,
I feel like that's a collective thing. Like everyone.
I also remember very specifically when I was like maybe 10, I don't remember who it was, but somebody said to me, "Oh, well, you're lazy." And I was like, I am never going to have someone tell me I'm lazy again. I will show everyone that I am the least lazy. You know what I mean? Like, so then I just overkill it.
Yeah, so that's not healthy.
No, it's not. But I'm saying it's sort of a forced release and me saying out loud that I don't want to have to do the shop as another firm. Like, it was something that started as a hobby. And I enjoyed that people enjoyed it, but then I started focusing on the wrong reasons. And yeah, I do need the extra money, but I also like, I need time.
I'm thinking of like skipping most of June and doing more like a Maven focused, like late summer kind of thing. And just letting my brain like chill. And then I go back and like make things I actually want to make. Instead, people are going to want this again and this again. It's like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I might put the ones I already have back up just to be like, you can get these if you want.
I want to make something and be terrible at it and it be okay. Like, I just want to make a shitty thing.
I have been I know I talk a lot about kitchen witchery stuff, I feel like all the time, but I started doing this thing this year where I have made a different bread every month. Just one, like not like I have to make a ton of it. It's just like, try it once and see if it works. And sometimes it does not work. Like I tried to make arepas in February and just the perfect combination of like, it's way too humid here where our apartment was because our apartment didn't have good like airflow. So everything did not solidify the way it's supposed to. It got like real runny and like, I've never made them before. So they did not work at all. And I got these like gloopy messes, but it was fun to try.
Yeah.
But other things have worked great. Like I had to learn how to put steam in our oven to make ciabatta rolls have a crust. Water. Yeah, but I didn't have a big enough pan. So I had to keep refilling the water in the oven and not have it open too long. Like it's been experimental. And it's also like, I'm the only one that really eats bread. Now Zach lives with us. So Zach eats a ton of bread like me, but Mark doesn't really eat bread. So it's not like I'm making it for anybody else other than me. Like he'll eat a piece of it. Like when I made the ciabatta rolls, he made a roll. He had a roll, but it's like, I'm mostly making weird stuff for me. So I made the boiled cream tarts from Skyrim because Mark got me a Skyrim cookbook. So it's just like doing silly things that don't matter has been pretty fun.
Yeah. I forced myself to sit down with a little bit of free time before Pepper came back from her board and train thing and made couple little stuffed animals for the kids and finished. I had made a big shawl blanket for my mother-in-law. It was supposed to be for her birthday, which was in February, but I finished it by Mother's Day, which was a goal that I had. So just making something stupid for, you know, it's not worth anything. It's not worth money, but it's something I wanted to try has been nice.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, actual witchcraft, I don't have time for anything that takes me longer than 20 minutes to half an hour.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes like it's a lot literally of small stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, the most extensive thing I've done would be like, making an offering to sort of a planetary, energy, I guess. So like, you know, if I'm working with Jupiter or Mercury kind of in that time zone or for whatever I'm working on, then I'll have like a food offering or a scent offering, or I'll make an incense that has to go with that and just burn that. And sometimes that's all I have time to do, or just light it, take a chime candle, you know, inscribe it really quick, throw some oil on it. And then that burns in about 20 minutes. The little chime ones do, especially with the oil. And I'm going to actually recommend that to people. If you haven't tried dressing your candles with oil and you find that when you burn, you get funky burns and like only half will stand up or it'll like collapse. The oil is actually, for some reason, probably, you know, fire reasons, make it burn evenly all the way down and you won't have much left. So
yeah.
Dressing candles is actually helpful in a, you know, speed, timeliness sense. If you're
there's also
time pinch,
a ton of really good TikToks about how to dress them and not catch things on fire.
I don't know how you would catch things. You need like a
people like throw a whole, you know, those, it's not the chime candles, but you know, the 7-day candles where the flame is very ones much that a tiny like a surface area, like the glass the balls, jar. Right? No, oh, you're talking about the tall glass candles. Jar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people will throw everything on the top and right where the flame is. So if you're throwing flammable oil and a bunch of flowers right where it is, instead of like drilling holes to push the herbs and stuff down so it burns evenly, the whole top catches on fire. And if you're putting your candle in a place where there's a whole bunch of other stuff hanging around, there are a bunch of TikToks where people were catching like their kitchen towels on fire on accident because they weren't watching where the candle flame was. So just like be careful with flames, I feel like.
I would think that the more, because they have such a, they're so small, they don't allow for a lot of oxygen, which is why if you get some of the cheaper ones, they really don't burn that well. And I would think the more stuff you throw on top, it would actually smother it.
That's what I thought, but I think it's the adding the oil because it's oil. It's like pooling on top.
But when you dress a candle, you don't really put the oil on the wick. You put it on the body of the candle.
So that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay.
But sounds like
people should be dressing the outside of the jar if they're going to do it. I don't ever recommend.
That's what the TikTok person I was watching, her dad's a firefighter. Recommending. Was like, put it on the jar and put like a paper towel if you're worried about it getting on your surface.
Well, you don't want to soak it. It's like a little, like, I don't, what are people doing? Like
literally a tablespoon. I watched somebody like pour a tablespoon of oil on the top of one of the prayer candles and the whole thing caught on fire. Cause like, that's what happens when you pour gasoline on a campfire.
Yeah.
Like you don't do it. So this has been fire safety with Cassie and
Tuscany. God. Maybe we do a whole, like, I guess I never thought that you wouldn't just pour. I don't understand.
People will do literally anything that they shouldn't logically do.
I would say minimal, like the minimum you can do on something is always the best. Like if you're worried about it, one dab of oil or like a little, you know, little sigil of oil on it is perfect. If you're going to dress it, it's touch your finger in the oil and then dress it. And that's enough for the candle. And I'm telling you, it'll burn perfectly straight down. Like you don't need to tablespoon it. That's crazy.
So we have a minute and a half.
Okay, well, we got pretty far. I don't know. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think this is good.
Or do we decide what the next episode's going to be?
I recently got a book on an encyclopedia of the Fae.
Oh.
So I'm going to find like a random one and go down a little rabbit hole. That's going to be my thing.
All right.
Do you do like fairy magic stuff? Do you want to look into like?
I don't actually. I could look into it. I'm not. I don't really fuck with the Fae.
Right. That's my
jam. Not normally. I guess I'll find something equivalent. Maybe I'll pick a different culture and find something similar.
Yeah.
But hopefully, it won't take us another year to put one out. So.
No, it shouldn't. I will bother you until we remember.
I'm going to try. All right. So now we're going to wrap it up. And I don't remember. I don't have
vegetables and hydrated. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Eat your vegetables. And stay hydrated. Yes. I got it. Go. Okay. All right.
I'm going to hit stop. Bye.